It's just amazing. Today we're going to talk about the days of Noah and Lot. I'm going to give us a little end time teaching here today. And I want to start off with a newspaper article. I think it's so fascinating. I was talking to a guy the other day. His name was Myron. You might know Myron. But he's going up with some sound companies. And they're going up to the inauguration. And they're setting up the, you know, they're involved with the sound reinforcement and all that kind of stuff. And so I was telling him, I said, man, that'd just be fun to go up to right now because it was such a crazy election. It was so much interesting. I just know this inauguration is just going to be really different. And so I'm still hearing a little feedback on that thing. So, Jan, are you there? Can you roll the mic back just a little bit? And I wonder, you know, this... When I was thinking about this and just thinking about the end times and the days of Lot and the days of Noah, just yesterday, I was just reading the news, and this is an article on Yahoo.com, Yahoo News, okay? And here's what it says, beware of false prophets. How about that, Yahoo, beware of false prophets. Wow. Listen to this, China's president will preach the advent of a new world order. What doesn't that sound like end times? This is Yahoo. Chinese president will preach. Listen to the religious language that's being used in just a newspaper article. China's president will preach the advent of a new world order. Everybody go, ooh. Right, yeah, new world order. In Davos next week, that's in Switzerland, before the high priests of globalization, who are facing an uprising from voters against their orthodoxy, there's another religious term, right, of open markets and borders. The annual conclave of the World Economic Forum in the Swiss Alps, grouping 3,000 delegates from the worlds of government, business, science, and the arts, has created the caricature of the Davos man. Who is that Davos man? Are you interested?
Devil.
Well, not devil man, Davos man. No, here it is. The Davos man is a rich, rootless globetrotter. All right, the guy that just runs around the world with his money, private jets, hanging out and, you know, skiing in Switzerland in the winter and, you know, at the beach. And then who worships with fellow disciples at the Church of Free Trade. So this is an article in Yahoo.com. I don't read it all the time, but I thought that was really interesting. And then they're calling the president-elect Trump the false prophet, you know. And so it was really interesting that they use all of this religious language in a supposed secular conference, but it has a religious tone to it. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, because part of, you know, being a church, Jesus said about knowing the signs of the times. So one of the things that God will let you know about, you know, he may not let you know when a snowstorm is coming. How do you know the predictions are kind of tough, right? Like I remember at the beginning of the conference, they were saying, oh, you're going to have about an inch of snow. And so I thought, well, we can get away. Maybe we can get away with Friday night and have a meeting Friday and then see. And how do you know that, what, 8 inches of snow dropped on Friday? And the snow came about 4 or 5 hours earlier than predicted. And so I was like, what do I do? So knowing the season and the time is difficult. And I'm just telling you, you know, one thing you know for sure, if somebody gives you, I am sure this weather is going to be this way. You know it's not going to be that way, right? It's just not going to be. I mean, you can't predict things. But God will give us insight and wisdom on what we can do in terms of having a knowledge of the timing of the Lord and when to go to the beach when the snow comes. So that's why I was kind of I was joking about them knowing they're really in the spirit because they took off when the snow came, unless you really like to get out in the snow. I mean, you know, Birgit comes, she grew up in a northern European country, the Baltic area. And so you would think that she saw lots of snow, right? Too much. She's seen enough snow now. That's why she moved to Virginia. Okay. So I want to start in Luke chapter 17, verse 20. And I just want to talk to you because Jesus was talking to his disciples about this. And so he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. So they wanted to know the timing of the kingdom of God. And Jesus answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. All right, so the first thing we want to know is that you may not see it the way that God sees it. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And of course, at that time, who was in the midst of them? The king, Jesus. So they could not see the kingdom. Listen, they go to Jesus and they say, when is the kingdom of God coming? He was there. Do you understand that? He was there. The kingdom was there. Because he was standing there. I mean, if Jesus stood in our midst physically right now, we would just be like, kingdom here. We don't need anything else, right? You know that when Jesus shows up, what else is there? What else is there? What else is there for anything if he's here? We just want his presence. That's what we are. We're a presence-driven church. We're a presence-driven church. And so if Jesus shows up, then we have what we need. The kingdom of God is here when the king shows up. And so then he said to the disciples, the days are coming. Now there's the days. So there gives the sense of timing or some days that are going to come. Even though the king is there right now, he said there's going to be some days. But notice he wasn't addressing the Pharisees. You hear me? He turned away from the Pharisees. He answered their question. Then he turned to his disciples and went back to teaching them. So this is a disciple question, and you guys are disciples, and so therefore you need to hear. The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look, here, there, do not go out or follow them. And here's what that's all about. Jesus said it in another place. He said, there will be false prophets and false teachers that will try to draw you away from your place in God. Don't be fooled by false prophets. Even though Trump was called a false prophet, I'm not going to call him a false prophet, okay? But you hear what I'm saying? So don't follow. He warns his disciples that there will be challenges to your faith and challenges to your safe position in God that will try to take you from where you're at. He says, don't go after them. If there's some kind of end time signs and wonders, and you'll see more about that. He goes on and says, for as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. So anybody here, we can't control lightning, right? We can't just say, okay, you know. So you're not, that's something that you don't have control over. So just let the lightning come and you'll know it when you see it. All right. For first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Everybody, what's he talking about there? The cross. Everybody say the cross. This is the first thing we know must happen, that the cross always comes first. Hey, that's my life as a disciple, right? My life as a disciple, before the glory, I'm going to have to deal with the cross and sin. I got to deal with this first before I go on. All right, go on. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will be in the days, plural, of the Son of Man. And they were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. And the next verse says, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot. They're doing the same thing, right? They were eating, drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day, everybody say day, not days, but day, on that day, when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So there's days and then there's day. And the day, we don't know. We won't know. Life will be going on as usual. And you're just, boom. Okay, on that day, let one who is in the housetop, don't turn back, you know, and then don't go back and get your goods because you will not need them. You won't need them. You won't need them. It's like, how many of you have been on an airplane or, you know, when you have a problem with the airplane, what do they tell you about the airplane? If you got a problem with the airplane, you got to exit the airplane, what does it tell you not to do? Do not get your laptop. Don't get your stuff. If you don't, you will die. So there's a principle, right, that we even use today, that you just don't go back and get stuff because you've got to focus on the number one thing. Life. Life, not stuff. The problem, one of the characteristics of the days of Lot and Noah is people care more about stuff than they care about life. They're doing stuff. Buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage, you know, all that stuff's going on. But they're missing the life. And so when it's time, and then we go on, you'll hear about Lot's wife. And go on about that. Remember Lot's wife. Well, what did Lot's wife do? She was the first salt shaker in the Bible. Yeah. She turned back and worried about the stuff. And just by that little hesitation, she was destroyed. And same thing, if you're on an airplane and that airplane, you got to get out of that airplane. You better get out of that airplane and don't even hesitate and think about it for 1 second. For 1 second, you can't. You got to let it all go. You got to be willing to let it all go. Jesus said, if a person is not willing to let go, they cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. You've got to be willing to let it all go. And trust that God can give it back to you better than what you had it before. So, I mean, this is the story here. So, let's see. We're on verse 33. So, whoever seeks to preserve his, I want to call it stuff, okay, rather than life. Because really, the life he's talking about, it's stuff. It's all your things. You know, we'll lose it. But whoever loses his life will keep it. And then, because that word soul is really the word there. And I tell you, in that night, there will be two in the bed. One will be taken and the other left. Now, you don't want to be the taken person here, by the way. You do not want to be the taken person in this scenario. So I'm telling you right now, you want to be the one that sticks around. And he changes the analogy, okay? Yeah, you do. You want to be the one left behind. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be the one left behind when you come. Because everybody else is going to the furnace. Okay, one will be taken and the other left. There'll be two women grinding. One will be taken and the other left. They said, where? Well, where the corpse is. The body pile. The dead pile. So that's why I don't want to be there. I don't want to hang out with vultures. I don't want to be a vulture's dinner. Anybody here not want to be a vulture dinner? I don't want to be that. So I don't want to be taken. I want to be left behind. Praise God, because I know that Jesus is coming to the earth to take me back with him. But first, he's got to come here to get me. Right? Exactly. When he comes, I don't want to be missing. Okay. So, now, I've got some scriptures here for you. So, we've already started Luke 17. So, I want to give you just some ideas here. I already talked about the very first thing that we are going to be dealing with as people, more false spiritual stuff as the days go on. We're going to be seeing more what they call lying signs and wonders. In other words, you may see some things that will look spiritual and will actually look like a sign or a wonder or a miracle, but it will actually be somebody that will be with that to try to pull you away from Jesus. Exactly. It's a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's interesting. Our culture now is much more sensitive to spirituality. my generations, my parents' generation, for them it was like, if it isn't concrete, don't even pay attention. But this group today has been raised on Harry Potter. They've been raised on vampires. They've been raised on all kinds of mystical, spiritual things, right? Am I right? So believing in spiritual things is not a big deal. You know, that's what they do all the time. I mean, you know, I mean, we only had like Halloween, you know, and haunted. I mean, but you see what I'm saying? So remember, there's a lot of spirits out there, and it's actually more prominent in our culture than it used to be. And it's really interesting that the rise of lying. I mean, I could use the Nazi regime very closely because the Nazis worshipped the Norse gods. They worshipped these Germanic deities. Okay, that was a part of their revival. No, they weren't. They weren't Christians. Yeah, so they were actually trying to go back and recreate the pre-Christian world of Germany, the white race and all that stuff. All right, so I want to tell you right now that there's more prevalence of those kinds of demons and spirits. And for me, going to India was kind of interesting just because I was in a country that had over 360 million deities, gods. 360 million. So you could just pick a million every day of the year and you wouldn't repeat. So, I mean, this is India. So we haven't really seen this much in America, but we're seeing more of it. How many know that we're seeing more of that kind of stuff here, right? We're seeing just more of those kinds of things. So the Bible says in Deuteronomy 13, and you can write this down. We don't have to necessarily turn there. But in Deuteronomy 13 is a chapter about what to deal with false signs and wonders. And that false signs and wonders is designed to pull you away from God. So number one, we believe in the spiritual world. We believe in heaven. We believe that signs and wonders happen. We're a signs and wonders church. We see miracles, healings, and all that good stuff. But what we do believe is that we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we believe that God is the Lord, and there is no other God beside him. Amen. There's no other God beside him. And really, the devil is not like, it's not like God and the devil in the ring fighting. It's not even like that. You know what I mean? It's just God in the ring. And he just kind of, he just looks at the devil and just kind of goes, you know what I mean? It's not even close. It's not even close. So get that out of your mind. The other thing I wanted to talk about, he said that every thought of man's heart was evil continually. That was another characteristic of the days of Noah and Lot. So the first thing was infiltration from the kingdom of Satan with evil angels, false spirits, you know, wanting to return to, you know, pagan gods and all that kind of stuff. The second thing has to do with your mind being turned to evil on a continual basis. Now, I grew up, I have to be honest, okay, I had evil thoughts, okay, but I had, you know, growing up, I did stupid stuff, but it wasn't all the time, okay? Someone would hand me some porn or something as a kid, you know, or I'd be angry at somebody and I'd punch them, but then it'd be over with, right? See what I'm saying? So evil kind of came and it kind of go, and I had my good times and I had my bad times. But here's the thing about our culture now. Our culture is shifting so that you can be actually bombarded by evil 24/7 if you want to. Can it happen? How can it happen? Internet, right? TV, any kind of media, right? Yeah, you open the door so that your mind is constantly filled. I mean, it's one thing to go out and, you know, have a bad day, you know, and be angry at somebody, or, you know, have a bad day and sin. But it's like when you're doing it nonstop, nonstop porn, nonstop violence, nonstop anger, nonstop offense. You can actually create that. And actually, it comes at you without you even asking, right? I mean, isn't that true? I mean, so I'm just trying to make us think, like, maybe we should be, like, sometimes turn our phones off. You know, like Danny said, you know, maybe we don't need to have all that stuff coming at us. And I hate to say this, true, but, you know, you can get that on, like, network TV, nasty stuff coming at you. Stuff that you don't think is usually there. You know, you're, like, just innocently going somewhere, and, you know, there's something nasty coming at you. So I just feel like, the Bible says, and I don't have this exact scripture quote, but someone may know this, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart. And Jesus said, it's not what comes out, it's not what goes into the man that makes a difference. It's what comes out of the person. So the question we have to always ask, what's coming out of my heart? Is it evil continually? Is it anger continually? Is it depression continually? Is it, perversion continually? I mean, is it all right for me to be honest with you guys about stuff like morally? Because it's really, really important. I know that there are times when I literally will block a page or I'll block something so I can just like read the news. And then sometimes I'll fast from the news. Anybody ever try fasting from the news? Fasting from the internet? Fasting from TV? I mean, you can take fasts that are not food, by the way. And here's the reason why I suggest that, okay? If you can fast, say, from television for 2 weeks and then watch something, you know what I noticed about it? That when I watch it after I stop watching it, it hits me harder. Does that make sense? So like that's just the way we're made biologically, right? This is why we're made is it all right to be honest like this? Am I being right, Dr. John? I mean, he's a doctor. He knows we are made biologically so that if we get a certain rush with serotonin, that first time, our adrenaline, that first time those chemicals hit us, we get a higher high than the second time, the third time, the fourth. In other words, it goes down after a while. So your sensitivity to violence actually decreases the more you engage in it. So that if you were to continually engage in violent behavior, I'm sorry, it's cold in here. We've got the little babushka here. All right? She's got her little grandma hat on now. Can we do something about that? Okay. Yeah, just hug. Vincent, hug her a little more. She needs some tender TLC. Is it okay? I really want to talk to you about this because this is reality. I know that it's the same thing with anything that gives you a rush, whether it's violence that gives you... Come on, everybody knows that violence gives you a rush, and sex sells. Come on, anybody here disagree with me that sex doesn't sell? It sells. It does. But if you get exposed to a certain level and you get away from it, you get more sensitized to it so that when you see it again, you're like, whoa. And then after a while, you get less and less responsive to it because your body chemicals literally just adjust. Am I right? Paul, am I talking about what is chasing the dragon all about? You know what that's all about, right? Yeah, right? I'm somebody who doesn't know what that is, but you know what I'm saying? You never, it's like, your conscience gets desensitized. The Bible says, seared. You build up a resistance, right? Is it okay? I mean, is it okay? I mean, you know, Kelsey's crack. I don't mean to. Everybody's cracking up because I'm just being. Is it all right for me to be real about this? I know because I can say you're cracking up at me. Because you go, do you hear pastors talk like this? No? Am I being crazy for you right now? Okay. Am I all right? Okay. Oh, I didn't even go there. Yeah, they're trying to do virtual reality where everything you see and hear can be manipulated by somebody. Anybody really want to do that? You see what I'm saying, though? The technology is coming that way where, you know, it was a big deal. And I'm not saying go out and have, you understand me? I'm not saying go out and have fun. You hear what I'm saying? God wants us to have fun. God created sex, right? Can I be honest with you? Yes, he did. He loves it. He made it. It's awesome. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have it. Right? Okay? But, yeah, it's true. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be... Lord, help me. Papa Frank, you pray for me. I could get myself straight. Oh, there's anything you could pray for. I just... Okay. Now, look, the other characteristic is violence. Okay? It says the earth was filled with violence. So the word is passions. People get violent when they get out of control and their anger turns into actions and they're not really thinking anymore. They're just being violent. And one thing I've noticed about this, about passion, Americans are more emotional now than they used to be, in the sense that they'll do something because of what it feels, not because whether it's right or wrong. I'll give you an example. And Jesse, you keep loving me over this one, okay? I already told you about this one. So you know what's coming, right? You know what's coming. They did a survey amongst young people. And they said, if your pet, your dog, anybody have a dog here? Your dog, Megan, was drowning in a lake. And next to your dog was a stranger, a person. They did a survey. And they said, who would you save if you had a choice? And a majority of the people in America, 2/3, said the dog. The dog. The dog. I'm serious. But this is America. This is America. This is us. Come on now. Everybody own up to this. We are very emotional people now, and we are more emotional now than we were 20, 30 years ago. I'm serious. We need to repent. We were, save the dog. Why? Because you have an emotional attachment to your dog. And I don't need to go on about what people do for their dogs, but there are rich people that do more for their dogs than they'll do for anybody. They'll build them a palace. Right? Because they can. And because of the emotion there. I mean, I'm serious. I don't need to tell you stories. We know this happens in America. And so we are emotionally driven people. And if you're an emotionally controlled person and you're not spirit controlled, you will be manipulated. People will play you. They will play you because they'll play you by your emotions. And I have to confess, I have been played because of my emotions. Come on. If you don't raise your hand, you're liars. I'm serious. I've been played because of my feelings for people. There are times when the Holy Spirit, one time I was waiting on the Lord, and the Lord said to me, you are being nicer to this person than you are to your own church. He kicked me in the tail. He said, because you have a particular you like this person, they're a long-term friend, you're treating your church bad because of that. You need to deal with this situation. I repented. I had to go back and deal with the situation. And so you don't want to treat people bad that need to be treated right because of an emotional attachment to somebody. And there are some people, salespeople, for example, that'll sell you something. They'll get you to fall in love with them or their product. And you'll just bankrupt yourself and hate your wife because of that. Guys or girls. You know what I'm saying? Because they know how to pull on the heartstrings. They know what to do. They study this kind of stuff. So I just need to talk about that, because you have a combination of anger and lust working together. There are two powerful forces that will control people. Anger is the violent aspect of it, and the lust is the I want it for me and only me. That's the unholy trinity, right? I love me and only me. And then the other thing that has to do with things, and the old saying that we used to use years ago, is you love people and you use things, not the other way around. Come on now. Let's say it now. Love people. Use things, not the other way around. Don't use people and love things, because that's what you see. I just see people hurting each other because they just use each other all the time. They don't love each other. They think they're loving each other, but they're just using each other. And I feel it. Sometimes you feel like you've just been used. And they say, I love you, but they're just using you.